Welcome to Racetrack, where bold flavor meets quality ingredients. Here, you'll discover aromatic, freshly ground bean-to-cup coffee, or find slices of saucy, cheesy, bubbly, made-in-store pizza perfection. And kick off your morning with fluffy, melty breakfast sandwiches to help get your day going. It's stop on your way, stop in your tracks, taste bud tingling goodness, all in one place. Racetrack, whatever gets you going.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing well today, wherever you might be across this great nation. We have got a lot going on. And President Trump, breaking news today, Israel blowing up more terrorists. So, there's just a lot for us to cover. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Coming up, Dr. Ben Carson joins us. Also, we'll be checking in with Steve Gill. He'll have the latest news of the day. We're going to be talking to Dr. Carson about the big meeting yesterday that President Trump had, this Religious Liberty Commission. What an incredible thing that was that President Trump did, calling the nation to prayer. I truly do believe that we are one nation under God, and it's so great to have a president that actually affirms that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That we have a president of the United States who is standing up for people of faith, and you can say what you want to, but the fact is that Christians in America and Jews in America have been under ferocious attack, and I'm just so glad that our president is now standing up and saying, you know what, we're not going to be doing that anymore, and we're going to be punishing the people who are targeting Christians because of their faith. So today is a huge day. In North Carolina, in Charlotte, there is a big election that's happening today for the mayor, and there's a big primary battle, and at the center of all of this is the first African-American female mayor of Charlotte who came out and defended the black man who savagely attacked, stabbed to death this Ukrainian national whose only crime, apparently, was sitting in front of the black man on a commuter train, this light rail train. And it has sparked a national conversation about what's happening in this country and the uptick in attacks on white people by blacks. But more importantly, had it not been, and just think about this for a moment, had it not been for social media, there's no way any of us would have known that these kinds of attacks have been happening. And we've been reporting them on a pretty regular basis. Now, keep in mind, and I want to set the ground rules here early on, because we have a lot of leftists that are lurking about today on the show. I believe that murder is wrong, no matter the color of your skin. I believe that murder is a hate crime, no matter the color of your skin. But the rules have been changed by the mainstream media and by the Black Lives Matter crowd and the professional race agitators. The rules changed. And so, therefore, it's important that we, on our side of the aisle, play by their rules. So, therefore, whenever a person is shot or killed by a police officer or a white person, and that individual is a minority, that becomes a national news story. There are riots, buildings are burned down, stores are looted because, well, I don't know why. I don't know why. But for whatever reason, the only way to stand up for a dead person is to go in and steal Twinkies from a 7-Eleven. So you've got all this stuff that happens. There are marches in the streets. There are news anchors that pack up all of their belongings and go to the impacted city where they do their evening newscast, and they're weeping and tears are falling down their face. But when a white person is murdered by, well, anybody, but in this case by a black man, the media immediately shuts down. They're not interested. These kinds of stories don't matter to the national narrative. But beyond that, and again, think about this, even when a white person kills a white person, it's not a story. It's just not. It's only when a white person does something or harms a black person. That's the only time it becomes a national story. And the hypocrisy is just off the charts. And so we've been pointing this out on the show, and now the media is just enraged at us. Who do these people think they are? This is the headline from the New York Slimes. A gruesome murder in North Carolina ignites a firestorm on the right. May I just ask the New York Times a question here? Why wouldn't the gruesome murder ignite a firestorm on all sides of the political aisle? Why is this some sort of a political issue for the Democrats? You've got a woman who came here from war-torn Ukraine, wanting to live in this country, and the irony is that she lost her life in this country on that light rail train. So anyway, the mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina, who is on the ballot today, she's a black woman, and my question is, did her race influence her opinion about what happened? Because she has been nothing but sympathetic towards the killer. Offered a perfunctory thoughts and prayers for the victim, but it's all about the attacker. Congressman Mark Harris, who's a Republican, he's been on this program many times in the past, says that what happened in Charlotte, North Carolina is a microcosm of a national epidemic. Do you agree with that? Do you believe that what happened in Charlotte is just a microcosm of these attacks nationwide? On white people, I am telling you, white people are being targeted in America. And by the way, the FBI crime data backs up that statement. On Monday, the White House, reading from the Times article here, on Monday, the White House called the stabber, who the authorities say is homeless and mentally ill, a deranged monster with a lengthy rap sheet, blaming the murder on local Democrats and accusing them of being soft on crime. Well, that's because they're soft on crime. This guy had a rap sheet. He was arrested over 14 times just over the past 12 years. Armed robbery, shoplifting, injury to personal property. This guy the guy's only 34 years old. In 2014, he was arrested for brandishing a handgun at a man, robbing the guy. He pled guilty to robbery with a dangerous weapon. He served a minimum sentence. So, again, why is it that this guy was allowed to walk the streets? Makes no sense to me. But here's how the New York Slimes treats this guy. Mr. Brown's housing and mental state appear to have become increasingly unstable in recent months. Why is that any concern to us? Because they're wanting us to feel sympathy towards the stabber. Unbelievable. So here we go. Let's see here. Just recently in January, when the police conducted a welfare check, he told officers someone gave him a man-made material that controlled when he ate, walked, and talked. The guy was insane. He grew upset when officers told him they could not do anything about it. Then he called 911, so he was charged with misuse of 911, but he was released when the judge made him sign and pinky swear to show up at a future hearing. Are you kidding me? Literally, he had to sign a piece of paper saying, I pinky swear promise to come back for my future court hearing. That judge has blood on her hands. Judge Teresa Stokes. There you go. So now he is charged with first-degree murder. He's back in custody. A judge ordered a mental acuity assessment. And a lot of conservatives are fighting mad over this. Dinesh D'Souza, the reason for the media silence is racial. He's absolutely right. If the killer were white, this would get coverage. And by the way, how come no cities are burning? Charlotte, North Carolina, not a single building burned down. Why is that? Just curious. Of course, if it were a white assailant murdering a black victim, D'Souza says, then it would be front page headlines everywhere. The Times goes on to say the idea that mainstream news outlets downplay crimes committed by black people has become more of a talking point in some conservative circles in recent years. The critique has emerged even as liberal critics of the news media have argued crime coverage is distorted by anti-black bias. So there are literally people. We've got a newspaper in Memphis, and they don't cover crime. That's just beneath us. We're the Daily Memphian. We only cover important news like restaurants and bars opening and that sort. Yeah, I get that, but the real reason they don't cover crime news is because 95% of it's committed by black people, and that's a problem for the people who run the woke Daily Memphian newspaper. Just giving you a local example here. The Times goes on. In North Carolina, as in other southern states, here it comes, newspapers in the Jim Crow era often egregiously exaggerated stories about black criminality. Among other things, such stories served as a precursor to a white supremacist uprising in 1898 in which at least 60 black men were killed. So they're saying that this black dude is justified in stabbing this white Ukrainian woman on the train in Charlotte because of something that happened in 1898. There goes my blood pressure again. Are you seeing how all this works now? I'm just telling you, folks, it's not good. It is not good in America right now. President Trump writing on Truth Social, the blood of this innocent woman can literally be seen dripping from the killer's knife. It's true. And now her blood is on the hands of Democrats who refuse to put bad people in jail, including former disgraced governor and wannabe Senator Roy Cooper. President's not wrong here. But again, the question is, does the Times have a point here? Should the news organizations in America stop covering black-on-black or black-on-white crime? Because the insinuation is that the black man is always the victim. That goes back to a critical point of CRT, critical race theory, and that idea is that black people can never be racist. Black people are always going to be oppressed. And the white man is the criminal. The white man is always the criminal. And therefore, if a white person is always the criminal, they cannot be victims of crime. So, which is why, for example, when stores are looted, when there is pillaging and plundering, they don't consider those to be crimes. They almost consider it to be it's a form of reparations. It's so bonkers crazy. But this is what happens when you elevate crime. So if you commit a crime against a white person, you get this charge. If you commit a crime against a black person, it's this charge. How about this idea? You commit a crime, you get charged. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. Can we get back to those days? Is that even remotely possible to do? Do you believe that there is a national epidemic here, ladies and gentlemen? Our telephone number, and we're going to the phones when we come back from break, 901-260-5926. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Attention investors with a 401k, IRA, or retirement account. The dollar has lost over 25% of its value in the past 5 years, and it's only going to get worse. Are you prepared for what's about to happen next? We are Advantage Gold, the number one customer-rated gold IRA company in America, and we are helping Americans prepare for the great de-dollarization by diversifying their portfolios with physical precious metals. We've partnered with former chief economist of the IMF, Kenneth Rogoff, to give away his latest book called Our Dollar, Your Problem, a must-read for investors. Call 800-741-GOLD, and we'll rush a free copy of Our Dollar, Your Problem, to your doorstep and include our special gold IRA investing kit, valued at $49. The dollar is losing value fast. Call 800-741-GOLD now to get your free copy of Our Dollar, Your Problem and our free gold IRA investing kit. Supplies are limited. Consult your tax and financial professional before investing. Call 800-741-4653. That's 800-741-GOLD.
All right. Israel blowing up the bad guys. President Trump declared war on the bad guys in this country. Let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Tony is listening to us on KWAM, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Tony. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mr. Stein?
I'm good. Thank you for asking, Tony.
Okay. First of all, I'm a fan of the show.
Thank you, sir.
I take issue with something that you said. I think you gave a percentage. You may have just been, I don't know, just talking, but you said 95% of the crime was committed by black people. And I think not, if you just see, you got people, black, white, whatever, who listen to your show and who believe in what you're saying, and we fighting the same fight. But I don't want you to lose your credibility when you make statements like that.
How am I losing my credibility?
There's no way 95% of the crime. I know the majority of it, absolutely, and I hate it. I really hate that the majority of the crime is being committed, period, but especially by black people here in Memphis, Tennessee. Because, I mean, you know, Memphis, Tennessee, I believe is predominantly black. There's no reason, there's no excuse for that to be the crime statistic, but it is what it is. But 95%, I think, is really, really too high a number, and that it puts out a bad perception. And I don't think it's a good thing to say.
Well, it's a terrible thing to say, and I hate to say it, but the facts are the facts. And Tony, there's another component to this, another side to this. You know, the National Institute for Criminal Justice Reform, they did a study, and they found that over 90%, and there are other studies that say 95%. But their study says over 90% just of homicide victims, of homicide victims and suspects in Memphis are blacks. But here's the other shoe on that. Over 90% of the victims are also black. So we're dealing in places like Memphis, where you have a majority minority city, we're dealing with black on black crime, and nobody is speaking out for the victims here. Nobody.
Some people are. You'd be surprised. Hopefully you wouldn't be surprised, but a lot of people are speaking out for the victims. I'm one of them. I just don't want the perception to be a negative perception.
But Tony, it's not a negative perception. Tony, I hear you, but it is not it's negative in the sense that, yeah, we got to stop the killing, but it's the reality of the situation. And if we don't address the reality of what's going on here, we're not going to be able to fix the problem. And that's my concern.
I couldn't agree with you more, but I still got to go back to that, man. You know, words are everything, and once they leave your mouth and goes in the ears, that's it. So
1,000% right, Tony. And again, I'm not speaking out the wazoo here. I mean, these are the official statistics, you know, done by the experts that are coming in and they're looking at the problem. And we got a problem here. And until you've got people like the mayor and the black leadership that rules Memphis, Until they're willing to come out and say, we've got to deal with this, it's not going to get dealt with.
I agree. I won't hold you up too much longer, man.
I still
disagree with that number. There's no way it could be. When you got all types of, you got Hispanics here, you got gang members here, you got all kinds of other people committing crimes. And all of these people only add up to 5%. That's hard for me to believe.
Yeah. Well, and again, those are the numbers that they've compiled, and it's a troubling statistic. But again, this is the reality in Memphis, unfortunately, Tony, and we've got to fix it. Thank you for calling in, Tony. Appreciate that. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. All right, some news from the world of Cracker Barrel. A couple of stories here, and this is good news. Look, Cracker Barrel is listening to the consumers, and that's a big deal. Cracker Barrel has now announced they are suspending the redesign of its restaurants. They spent over $700 million on all of this, folks. Just shameful. Just shameful. So Cracker Barrel, according to the New York Post, has abruptly suspended its remodels and promised to keep its cherished old country store vibe following a furious backlash. The backlash forced the chain to walk back plans for a new logo that sent Uncle Herschel to the cancel culture room. The announcement was made after the Post reported Cracker Barrel staffers were upset that CEO Julie Massino, claiming she gutted kitchen jobs, slashed hours to avoid offering health insurance, and now passed off frozen microwave food as home-style cooking. So let me stop right here for just a moment. I'm glad they restored the logo. I'm glad they're putting the restaurants back to what they used to be like. But ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Did they not, Dylan Dandridge? You are the keeper of the archives of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Did they not hear it here first that I said the biggest problem and the reason why people stopped going to Cracker Barrel in the first place is because the food was bad?
I can confirm that, yeah.
I may not know a lot, ladies and gentlemen, but I know my way around a Cracker Barrel menu. And I can tell you, things were, you know, I remember exactly where I was when I realized something was amiss. And it was about 3 or 4 years ago. And I was traveling to Atlanta, and it's Interstate, 22? It's a desolate stretch of roadway. And then there's a, in the middle of nowhere, there's a Cracker Barrel. Dylan, you know what I'm talking about. You dated Mrs. Producer back in the day when she was living in Birmingham.
It's true.
So I stopped at the Cracker Barrel, and I decided to order whatever I was going to order. And when I got, first of all, there were no biscuits. No biscuits were brought to the table. There was none of the jelly in the little packets, none of that. And on top of that, when the food arrived, it was a giant plate with little tiny morsels. I'm like, what the heck is this? What's going on here? Where are the rest of the butter beans? Needless to say, that was the last time I stopped at Cracker Barrel. And so I was not surprised by any of this. And so now we're finding out, according to staffers, and also, by the way, and it's not just staffers, it's also customers who were filming videos. They were right there at the Cracker Barrel table, and the biscuits came out, and the biscuits, it was hard as a rock. That's that. Let me tell you something. That kind of nonsense, you show up to Wednesday night church supper at a Baptist church in the South with those kind of biscuits, you're getting excommunicated. And somebody's probably going to slash your tires. So here's how bad it is. As our good buddy Paul Shanklin said, it was the food was so bad, that's why they had to start serving mimosas. It's true. So anyway, according to the New York Post, there's another story here. This is shocking. But I'm not shocked. It's just still shocking that Cracker Barrel did this. So Cracker Barrel staffers were given orders. There was a memorandum that went out, and somebody got their hands on the memorandum. It turns out that headquarters was forcing the Cracker Barrel restaurants to serve day-old biscuits and microwave meatloaf. For the love of God, what's going on here? This is what happens when you put a Yankee in charge of a Southern institution. I'm just saying. According to the New York Post, the biscuits arrived at tables hard, rubbery, and like a rock. But the reason why, a February directive went out, and as a cost-saving measure and efficiency measure, they decided to make the biscuits and then freeze them a day in advance, and then they were reheated. You know what's going to happen when you do that? You're going to get a biscuit that has the consistency of a rock. Just want to point that out. A source telling the New York Post they thought we'd be faster and out sooner if we weren't rolling out biscuits fresh. But people, it turns out, wanted their biscuits to be buttery and soft. The most common complaint that we've gotten, according to the staffer, is that our biscuits are sometimes rock hard. That's sad. Likewise, Cracker Barrel's signature meatloaf was cooked the day before and tossed into a microwave for just over... I have a little throw up in my throat right now reading this, ladies and gentlemen. So disappointing. So they're microwaving the meatloaf. The way it used to be, they would take it out of the oven and the cook would cut it up still in the pan, which was in our steam line, and it was a lot fresher. I'm just curious if any of you folks have experienced the same thing here. I mean, it's all very sad. All that to say, people are, they're making all of these changes they did not need to make when all they had to do was stick with the good old formula. I'm just telling you, that's how it should have been. It's like when Chick-fil-A got rid of the delicious carrot salad and the chicken salad sandwiches. Stop messing with things that people love. That's all I'm trying to say. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know what I'm doing, though, guys? We're going to go to the phones here. Brian, hang tight here in South Haven. Dylan, I've come up with a solution. What we could do is, instead of Kevlar, we could just sew a bunch of those Cracker Barrel biscuits into a vest, and then you can go downtown on Beale Street.
That's not a bad idea.
Right?
Might be a little flaky, but
well,
could work.
It could work. Let's go to South Haven, Mississippi, the top of Mississippi. Brian, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Brian. What's going on?
Hello, Todd. Good to talk to you, man. I wanted to see if I could bring up a topic that I know you have already discussed several times, but I love Memphis, and I just love Memphis, and I am very concerned about the crime and so forth that is so rampant. And I wanted to kind of get your opinion on where do you think Governor Bill Lee stands? It appears when you watch Donald Trump's press conferences, he talks about the governor. He prefers to make a phone call to him. I know Mayor Paul Young, I know he has a say there as well. But where do you think that these people really feel, Bill Lee specifically? Is he going to make that phone call to get us some resources in Memphis? Because I do a lot of ministry work on the streets of Memphis, and the actual law-abiding citizens of Memphis are actually really scared. The law-abiding citizens, they're scared. I mean, the crime is out of control, the murders are out of control, and I just wonder what Bill Lee thinks about it.
Brian, it's a good question, and I'm going to have a few for you as well, because you've got some boots on the ground intel for us on what you're seeing. But as far as the governor goes, I've always taken him to be more of a moderate. He was almost the accidental governor. He was not the original choice for tough-on-crime conservatives. There were actually three candidates originally in that race, and he was the two stronger conservatives canceled each other out. So I think that the governor has demonstrated time and time again that he's really not that concerned about intervening in Memphis. Predominantly, I think he's afraid of the racial blowback that he would get. But I got to tell you, Brian, I think that the black community in Memphis, and we are a majority minority city, I think the black community in Memphis would greet him like a hero, just like the black community in D.C. and Chicago are doing with Donald Trump right now. Because I don't care what skin color you are, you want to be able to go to the grocery store without getting carjacked. You want to be able to let your kids go down to the local park without them getting shot in a drive-by. And people are just, I think you're right. I think that's the right word to use. People are scared.
Yes, I agree with that. I also did some Uber driving. I do Uber as well. And, you know, people are really scared. They really are. And I see, you know, Mayor Young, who I respect Mayor Young. I think he's doing some positive things. I respect him. But at the same time, I mean, he's talking about crime is down and so forth. But the published data was 175 homicides. We're down to 145. And, you know, that for those 145, those are 145 families that will not have that person at Thanksgiving meal. They will not have that person at Christmas. And, you know, and as I talk to more and more of these people, they're like, they want the help. They want the help because nobody deserves to live in a community where you're scared, and they're scared.
They are. And we should not have to live in fear. You know, I'm concerned, you know, the poor people of Charlotte, where they're getting on board. You're not allowed to have any sort of weapon on you in Charlotte, North Carolina, when you get on board those light rail cars. So the only people that are armed are the bad guys intent on doing harm. So I just, you know, I think there is a nationwide frustration, and people see that there's a problem, and it's really not a racial issue. This is about right and wrong, and it really angers me when you have people like the Jasmine Crocketts of the world coming out and saying, well, or the AOCs or Ilhan Omars, saying, well, people are hungry, and that's why they're carjacking folks, or that's why they're robbing the Gucci store. I got a hard time buying that argument.
Yes, I agree, Todd. And I wanted to ask you this as well, if I could. Are we back? Do we have a backlog of cases that haven't been seen about and haven't been judged yet? Do we have a backlog of those? And the second thing in Memphis area, is the prison space already full? Is that another reason why we're holding back on some of this? Because we have got to get these criminals off the streets, or it's not going to be good down the road.
So someone just sent me some intel here. Let me see if I can't pull that up. This is from a national organization that tracks the most liberal-leaning district attorneys. And believe it or not, our district attorney in this area is actually number one. The 40 most collective-linked progressive prosecutors. And Memphis, Tennessee is on top of that chart. So I think that gives you an idea of why these people are not being prosecuted. The thing is, you can always transfer prisoners to other jails and prisons. But ultimately, you've got activist judges, and they're letting these people right back out on the streets, many times without having to post a single penny of bond money. And, Brian, that is happening in other major cities as well, which, again, is leading to this insane crime rate. We're watching from Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine, and everywhere in between.
Would you be willing to tweet that article out so everybody could see it?
Yeah, we'll get that. Yeah, we'll get our team to post that sometime during the show today, Brian. Hey, we've got to run. Thank you, though, for phoning in. Certainly appreciate you listening to us over in South Haven. By the way, Brian, if you're listening to us, you got to go check out Dale's great restaurant in South Haven. Dylan, you're shaking your head.
Dale's is one of the best places in South Haven.
Have you been to the renovated
I haven't been. But
oh,
I
you
got
to go.
It brings back so many good memories.
Yeah, I took one bite of the country fried steak and started speaking in tongues.
Wow.
It was very good. Let's go to Tim in Greenville, South Carolina. All right, Tim, help me out on this Cracker Barrel story.
Hey, Todd, how are you, man?
Wait, is this the man, the myth, and the legend?
This is formerly Tim from Memphis, now Tim from South Carolina. But I had to chime in, Todd, because, you know, I stopped going to Cracker Barrel a few years ago because the service was not great over in West Memphis. The food was not good. And so, you know, 2 weeks ago when all this controversy was firing up, my wife and I, you know, Leah, we thought, hey, let's just check out a Cracker Barrel. We were coming through Spartanburg, South Carolina. We had a gift certificate, and we thought, let's just use it. So go in the restaurant. Everything was very nice. The food came out. I got to tell you, man, the biscuits were hot. All the Baptists would be jumping for joy. The biscuits were great. Jelly
really?
was there. The butter, everything you could ask for. And the food was the best Cracker Barrel food I think I've ever eaten.
Is that right? So you're telling us there's hope.
There is hope. And I did go back. I said, I want to speak to the food manager. And the lady said, are you unhappy? No. I want to talk to the food manager. And I just told him, I said, you know, people are very quick to complain, but I try to be very quick to compliment. I got to tell you, I said, this is the best meal I've ever had at a Cracker Barrel. And he just lit him up. And I said, and the staff was great. Everyone that I was talking to there was awesome. And I said, this is just a great experience, and we'll be back.
You see, what I love about the Cracker Barrel story, Tim, is that you've got customers and you've got staffers, and they're it seems like they're working together to save the restaurant from whoever is leading from corporate headquarters.
That's right. Yeah. So that was a positive experience, and I just told them, I said, look, just keep doing what you're doing, and I wish the other Cracker Barrels that I have visited would, you know, take the same mantra and provide the same service. But you're right. There is hope. Don't give up on Cracker Barrel.
Well, you know what, Tim? This is a great word to end this segment on. It is good hearing from you. Are you and Leah enjoying Greenville? I've heard nothing but great things about the city.
Yeah, Greenville's a good city. We actually live up in the mountains just north of Greenville, so we've got bears on our property literally every day. And so it's just fun to watch the bears. But I'm doing a little part-time work for a station in Greenville. That's where I'm heading right now. We've got two meteorologists that have been on maternity leave, so I've been kind of filling in, helping out while they've been out. And it's kind of good to get back into it for a little bit.
Well, we miss your forecast. I know KWAM, we hired Laura Huckabee, who is related to the governor across the river, and she's our meteorologist. But we sure do miss you around these parts.
She's doing a great job, and so are you, Todd. Enjoy listening to you on the app, and just keep up the good work.
All right. The great Tim Simpson, everybody, and all of our Memphis crowd will recognize that name. Really one of the finest meteorologists and human beings in the Mid-South, and just an incredible family as well. Good people. All right, we got to take a break here. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us today. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, have you gotten yourself a copy of Star Spangled Blessings yet? I think this could be the quintessential book for America 250 as we celebrate this great nation. And, of course, President Trump's national call to prayer. And it's really the message of Star Spangled Blessings. And really hope that you get yourself a copy of this great little book. Also a wonderful gift book. And it also pairs well with our other devotion book called Our Daily Biscuit. Devotions Withdrawal. So you're going to want to check that out. Also, our good friends at the Association of Mature American Citizens, they are the conservative alternative to AARP, and they are standing up standing up for the values that built this nation, faith, freedom, and common sense. Of course, AMAC members get some pretty terrific benefits, deep discounts on travel, insurance, and prescription drugs, and their awesome magazine, the AMAC magazine, really one of the best publications out there for patriotic Americans. The best part, folks, it's only $1.20 a month. So I want you to, yes, $1.20 a month with a 5-year membership. Go to amac.us/darns. That's amac.us/darns. And you're going to be able to join the fight to keep America strong. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. When we come back, your calls. Dr. Ben Carson joins us, Steve Gill as well. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt, but that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
To all of the faith leaders, pastors, and patriots who have come to the Museum of the Bible for this historic meeting of the Presidential Commission on Religious Liberty. Under the Trump administration, we're defending our rights and restoring our identity as a nation under God. We will protect the Judeo-Christian principles of our founding. I am delighted to announce that just moments ago, I personally delivered the Trump Family Bible given to me by my mother. It was used in both my inaugurations and will now be displayed right in the heart of our nation's capital. And that's an honor. For most of our country's history, the Bible was found in every classroom in the nation. Yet in many schools today, students are instead indoctrinated with anti-religious propaganda, and some are even punished for their religious beliefs. I'm pleased to announce this morning that the Department of Education will soon issue new guidance protecting the right to prayer in our public schools. And I created the first ever Department of Justice task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias. America has always been a nation that believes in the power of prayer, and we will never apologize for our faith, ever. Together, we will make our country greater, stronger, more united, and more faithful than ever before. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Mr. President. That was a compilation of some of the remarks from the president yesterday at the Museum of the Bible as he gathered together the Religious Liberty Commission. And the president calling on the nation to pray, calling our families to pray for our great nation over these next weeks and months as we celebrate. We commemorate the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and bring into our conversation Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, it's been a while. Hope you're doing good.
I'm doing well. It's always good to be with you.
You know, I don't know about you, Dr. Carson. It really does my heart good to hear the President of the United States talking about faith and talking about the importance of faith in the public discourse.
I've known the president for a long time, and he really has accelerated his faith recently. I asked him some months ago, he said, you're in your late 70s. Most people that age are sitting on the porch in a rocking chair. Where are you getting all of this energy? And he thought for a moment, and he said, God. And I don't think he was just saying it because he thought I wanted to hear that. So when you go back and you look at our history, when we were at the last Constitutional Convention in 1787 in Philadelphia, the whole thing was about to fall apart because everybody had different opinions. They had strong opinions, and they weren't going to be able to get together. And then the elder statesman, 81-year-old Benjamin Franklin, got up in front of the assembly. He said, gentlemen, stop. During the Revolutionary War, every other phrase out of your mouth was, God help us, and now you don't want to talk to God. He said, let's get down on our knees and pray, and they did. And they came together, and they put together the Constitution of the United States, which I think is a God-inspired document. And for somebody like the senator last week who said, our rights come from government, not from God. Do they really know anything about our history, about prayer, and about why we say we are one nation under God, and why our Pledge of Allegiance says we're one nation under God, and why every coin in our pocket, every bill in our wallet says in God we trust? So I am delighted to see a president and an administration which once again recognizes the value of those Judeo-Christian values, which say, love your neighbor, not cancel your neighbor if they have a different opinion. It was our sense of community, our togetherness, and those values and principles that led us from obscurity to the pinnacle of the world in record time.
We were talking, Dr. Carson, about Dwight D. Eisenhower and the impact that his presidency had, and he really did promote the idea of talking about your faith in the public marketplace and affirming that we are one nation under God, and God we trust, the National Day of Prayer. And during his presidency, church attendance in America actually increased by 20%, which tells me I think there's a lot of power in the bully pulpit of the Oval Office.
Oh, without question, it has a big impact. And also, remember, if people of faith stay in the corner looking at the floor and hoping nobody calls them a nasty name, they leave the stage for those who don't believe. And when you think about systems of governance, you think about ours and you think about Marxism and communism, they don't want God because they need government to be at the pinnacle of power and influence. So that's what we've been fighting. We've been fighting the infiltration of that into our country lately. But I do believe that we're starting to see a migration back toward the values and principles that led us to become a great nation.
I do too. And there's a great George Barna study just out. And their numbers show that it's Generation Z and the millennials are actually attending church more so than the boomers and Gen Xers, which I'm a Gen Xer. And that's exciting to see that America's young people are going back to church.
Well, I've noticed that. You know, I visit a lot of campuses, and it used to be only the brave came out. But now we have overflowing crowds. In some cases, we have to turn hundreds of students away. I think the young people recognize that the path that we were on is not leading to a good place.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they should stop and reexamine what we're doing. And I think that's what's happening, at least with the young males, not so much with the young females right now. But I think they will come along, too, I think.
You know, go ahead, Dr. Carson.
The feminist movement has sort of equated, you know, humanism and, you know, your worth with what you do as opposed to who you are.
On our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today is Dr. Ben Carson. And Dr. Carson, you have an op-ed out weighing in on the dangers of loosening marijuana restrictions. I honestly think that just the open use of marijuana has pretty much destroyed New York City. I remember going back last year and stepping out of a cab and almost getting a contact high as a result of all the folks smoking marijuana in public.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I'm for people having freedom, but, you know, we should base our policies on facts and not on feelings. I mean, it's very clear the University of Colorado and others have studied the impact of marijuana and recognize, first of all, that the marijuana that's used these days is much more potent than what we saw back in the 60s and 70s and can be much more deleterious in terms of its health effects and its mental effects on people. But the data shows that in neighborhoods where there's at least one marijuana dispensary, the crime rates go up very, very significantly. Homelessness goes up significantly. A host of things that we want to avoid go up very significantly. So let's put that data on the table and say, does that matter in terms of the policies? I think it's where it should be as a Schedule I judge.
The idea early on, if I remember, the argument was that, well, if we can legalize it, we can tax it, and we're going to have all this new revenue coming in. And I'm wondering, has that actually happened as a result of all of that?
I think there's been a lot more damage than there is positive revenue.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
When we decide on the economic value, we need to also look at the economic impact of something. And what is it doing to our children, and what is it doing to our society? And I think if we do that, we'll be on a much smoother pathway for success for everybody.
All right. Well, Dr. Carson, always a pleasure to have you on the show to talk about the big issues of the day. Mrs. Carson, doing well?
Absolutely.
Well, glad to hear that.
We appreciate you and your patriotism.
Thank you, Dr. Carson. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the great Dr. Ben Carson joining us here today on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I will say this, honest to goodness, I had not been in New York City since they had legalized, you know, marijuana. And so they have all of these dispensary trucks, much like you would see like food trucks. And you go up there and you can, you know, get a joint, and it just reeks. We were in Times Square, stepped out of the hotel, and I'm 3 minutes later, I'm looking for a bodega so I can buy some Funyuns. I mean, it was that insane. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Bob in Gainesville, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN, has been holding on for a while. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, just wanted to let you know that Memphis is not the only one having these problems. You know, I was on Facebook a couple of days ago, and it seems that Sunday night in Augusta, Georgia, home of the Masters, there was a shootout down Millage Street and leading out to Lake Olmsted, which is right beside the Augusta Country Club, which is a hidey-tidey place. And, there was a shootout between two SUVs flying down that road. And I think it was the Augusta Country Club's surveillance cameras that caught the shootout. And as far as I know, they found a body later, maybe two bodies. And I'm not sure where that's going, but I'm sure that Austin Rhodes on his 3 o'clock show in Augusta, Georgia, will cover that. But in addition, over in Auburn, Alabama, a much beloved veterinarian professor who retired was walking her dog in a park she's been in forever, and all the students use this park, and she was killed, and they stole her car. And then you got Charlotte with the stabbing of a girl sitting there reading her phone, not saying a word to anybody. And I'm just pointing this out because Memphis has got its problems. I get that. And when I come through Memphis, I do not stop. If I can run a red light in order to get through Memphis, I'm going to do it. And I do the same thing in Atlanta because this stuff has been put on us by the prosecutors who will not lock people up. They get caught for doing bad things, and the no cash bail allows them to walk our street. And then you add in our illustrious Joe Biden opening our border to anyone who wants to come into this country. And voila, we got all these criminal activities. And it's terrible, Todd. And, you know, I don't know what's going to stop it short of the National Guard getting put out in all these communities, calm things down. And
Bob, you have to wonder, and I hear you, and it is bad everywhere. You folks, I mean, Gainesville, Georgia, I mean, you guys are dealing with crime there, all across the North Georgia area. Houston, we're hearing reports it's insane. And this Auburn story, it's very similar to what happened in Charlotte, where you have this veterinarian. And by the way, she was revered. She was one of the top veterinarians in the nation, and she served as the Department of Agriculture's top vet for the states of Alabama and Mississippi. And even though she was retired, you know, she was a professor there. And she was just out minding her own business when she was brutally attacked. It's just unacceptable. And you're right. At some point, people are going to say, you know, when are they going to say, Bob, enough is enough?
Yeah, I agree with you, Todd. Now, on another issue, there's a book out there you need to find and read. It's called Report to the Governor, written by a guy named John Thaler. And he outlines how the cartels are using real estate to compromise politicians and law enforcement. And it is very interesting. And if that rings a bell with you, there was a girl that presented to the Arizona Senate about a year ago, maybe a little longer, and she explained the whole scheme. And in that, she was saying it was in 20 states. And from what I'm gathering from this Facebook post in Augusta, Georgia, that may be connected, the cartels. And
well, let me tell you something about the cartels. Trump is so smart to declare war on these folks. I mean, and quite frankly, we've been at war with the cartels for a very long time. We just haven't been shooting back. But we've got to get a handle on that. And you want to talk about death numbers? The numbers of people killed by the drugs coming across our southern border and from places like Venezuela, that's a big problem. Hey, I gotta run, Bob. I certainly appreciate you calling in. Again, our number 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We have just obtained, and I've just posted on our YouTube channel, the full video of the Charlotte train attack. So up until now, you had just seen the moment where the attacker raised his hand with the knife. Well, now we have the aftermath of that as well, and we've posted it on our YouTube channel. It's graphic. Just want to alert you to that. But one of the things that really shocked me is that as soon as the guy just literally jumps up, stabs her, and walks away, not a single person on that train helped this young lady. Not a single person got up to help her. Unbelievable. I would encourage you to go and watch it, and I'd like to get your thoughts on what you see there. Again, the Todd Stearns YouTube channel. Let's go to Steve, Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Same thing, Todd. How you doing today?
Good. Thank you for asking.
Wasn't it Obama that gave guns to the cartel in something called Fast and Furious?
That is correct, yes. His attorney general at the time. That's right.
Holder, yes. And that never made sense to me. Why would you do that? I thought they were against us, and you're giving them weapons so they can kill people. That's just crazy. What
yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about was you've been talking about the narrative, black on black, letting people out of jail, committing that. You were the only person that had a story of a kid that was let out of jail, convicted felon on his own recognizance in Memphis. 2 days later, he's in another stolen vehicle, has a gun, and cold-bloodedly murders a Memphis policeman, a father of two kids.
Yes, sir. It's that sad. And Steve, we're happy to talk about those stories because they need to be told, and we're not afraid to do it either. Steve, I have got to run, my friend. I am so sorry that the computer's going to cut us off here. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
For far too long, Americans have been forced to put up with Democrat-run cities that set loose savage, bloodthirsty criminals to prey on innocent people. Really, very, very innocent people. In every place, they control radical left judges, politicians, and activists, and they've adopted a policy of catch and release for thugs and killers. In Charlotte, North Carolina, we saw the results of these policies when a 23-year-old woman who came here from Ukraine met her bloody end on a public train. And here's a picture of it. This is the picture of it. And this is a picture of the woman. A beautiful young girl that never had problems in life with a magnificent future in this country. And now she's dead. She was slaughtered by a deranged monster who was roaming free after 14 prior arrests. We cannot allow a depraved criminal element of violent repeat offenders to continue spreading destruction and death throughout our country. We have to respond with force and strength. We have to be vicious just like they are. It's the only thing they understand. 24 of the top 25 most dangerous cities in America are run by Democrat mayors. 50 people were murdered in Chicago in recent weeks, with hundreds being shot. And it's time to stop this madness. The people of our country need to insist on protection, safety, law, and order. We have proven that it can be done because we did it right here in D.C., in District of Columbia, the capital of America, was a bloodthirsty, horrible, dangerous place, one of the worst. And now it's a crime-free city, and we're going to keep it that way. It can be done. It can happen fast. All we want is, please, Mr. President, we need help. Chicago needs help. Other cities need help. We'll do what has to be done because we're going to make America safe again. And that includes our big cities. We're going to make those cities safe. Thank you.
All right. That was President Trump from the Oval Office just a little while ago. And while the president was delivering that news, we were getting some new information as well. There's an explosive report that has been released by the law enforcement Legal Defense Fund, and their findings out today show specifically how George Soros and other liberal advocates and activists were able to elect a lot of radical district attorneys in over 40 major American cities. The investigation reveals how a little-known consulting firm called the Wren Collective, LLC, had quietly embedded itself in prosecutors' offices across the country, reshaping criminal justice policy. And among those that were funding this, George Soros himself, who personally gave $280,000 to a pro-Steve Mulroy PAC in Memphis, Tennessee. Mulroy is the district attorney in Memphis. Priscilla Chan, the wife of Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. And they list a number of other folks as well. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, bring into the conversation the publisher of TriStarDaily.com, Steve Gill. Steve, good to have you with us. And, of course, this information just coming out as well. I'm not terribly surprised because we've all suspected that in New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Houston, that a lot of these radical district attorneys were being funded by very, very deep pockets.
Yes, Todd, and thanks for having me. And that tragic story of the young woman killed by this guy, as President Trump pointed out, who had been, you know, in and out of police custody and arrest 14 times, had no business being out on the street to be able to bring this carnage to bear. And almost as bad as that horrific story is the fact that the national media, the mainstream media, has virtually ignored the story for the first 24 to 48 hours because it doesn't fit their agenda. When they claim the streets are safe, that we don't need to have the National Guard in places like D.C. or Chicago, Detroit, or Memphis, Tennessee. And they literally, across the board, had a blackout of information about this horrific story. It tells us more about them than it even does about this deranged criminal.
Well, again, Steve, it goes back, and, you know, we had a previous caller who pointed out something which I had forgotten about, was Eric Holder and Fast and Furious. And the fact that they were literally putting guns, they were arming these cartels south of the border, hoping they were going to be able to track them down, and they never could. They never could track down a single person. And ultimately, I don't think that was the whole point of it. I think they were literally trying to arm the cartels. And it just seems to me that the Democrats, over the past however many years, going back to Barack Hussein Obama, have been literally equipping these criminals with the resources they need to cause chaos in our country right now, Steve.
While at the same time ignoring a Supreme Court opinion that detailed the right to bear arms as an individual right, and yet you still have major cities, New York, Washington, D.C., others, that try to ban the possession of firearms by honest, decent citizens, while these catch-and-release DAs catch these criminals in possession of firearms, in possession of weapons, despite having a felony conviction, which is a federal criminal violation and should send them right to jail, not passing go. They're happy to try and come after me if somebody else uses a gun improperly or kills somebody, even though I've done nothing, and yet they are not prosecuting those that are in possession of firearms illegally after committing crimes.
Steve Gill on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You know, Steve, I'm curious how this is being seen from your vantage point as far as the racial component here, because MSDNC, you've got CNN, New York Times, and they're all out there saying that Trump is taking advantage of what happened in Charlotte. Do you see it that way?
Absolutely not. And if the roles were reversed, if it was a white guy that killed a black woman on a train, this would have been the leading story. It would have been breaking news. We would have been seeing that photograph that President Trump shared, that video, till our eyes were bleeding. It is the reverse of this case being driven by race. It is the silence in this case because it does not fit their agenda. A scary black guy who's been in and out of problems with the police, arrested and charged and released again and again. It is their story that they don't want told, not that this story is something that is somehow revealing racism by President Trump or anybody else.
You know, here's what gets me is we're watching the, you know, this full video of the attack, which was very, it was a matter of seconds, if that. And not a single person on board that train got up from their seats in that video to go and help this woman.
Why would they? We see a guy that in New York stops a guy being violent on one of the trains, and he gets prosecuted. You know, so when you have folks that are willing to step up and protect the fellow passengers or a young woman from a deranged potential killer who's threatening and shouting and saying what he's going to do, in that case, the protector got prosecuted rather than what we see with these, again, Soros-funded DAs getting out there and getting the money, getting the job, and then playing catch and release. And now you have Mondami, Mamandami, the candidate for New York mayor, who's announcing that he's going to get rid of the gang database, the way you track and identify and try to prevent crime. As I've said to you, Todd, as we've discussed before, I love the police. The police do a great job of what they're able to do. But when seconds count, the police are minutes away, and they cannot prevent crime very effectively. They're there to put yellow tape around and investigate afterwards in most cases. And yet you've got Mamandani and these DAs and these chiefs of police that are pursuing the woke agenda who are making it harder and harder for police officers to do their job of preventing rather than simply catching criminals. And then you got the DAs releasing them, the judges releasing them before the police can finish filling out the paperwork.
It's mind-boggling, and especially when you see, for example, Auburn, Auburn, Alabama, where you had the retired veterinarian who was savagely attacked and killed. And it seems as though there has been an effort by the media to cover up many of these attacks, if not all of them. And you wonder if, you know, if it hadn't been for social media, I don't think we would have even known about the Charlotte attack.
Yeah, I agree with you again, 100%. My son, his wife, and my 20-month-old grandson live in Auburn, and I was actually talking with Brian about that yesterday. And if, as you would expect, it is a huge conversation down there. But even that case was essentially covered up for about 24 hours before it even leaked out in the local media, and it has not received the national media attention that it deserves. And yet you've got the Democrats that are protesting on the streets of Washington, D.C., screaming at the National Guard, yelling at the police in defense of criminals, in defense of violent criminals and murderers and rapists. They want their streets to be unsafe if you listen to the protesters on the street. Even though we've seen just the last couple of weeks when the National Guard in Washington, D.C. have reduced the murders, have reduced the rapes and carjackings, the results are clear. The Democrats are denying them and don't want that same positive practice to be spread to cities like Chicago and Detroit and New York City and Memphis, Tennessee.
Steve Gill on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Again, I hear you, and of course, in the aftermath of the Daniel Penny situation, and this is there are two stories that are great examples of the media hypocrisy in covering these kinds of incidents, especially with Penny, when you actually had minorities standing up and saying, hey, the white guy here is a hero, he saved our lives, and yet this guy got arrested for protecting people. I understand where you're coming from, but it's so unsettling to watch 1, 2, 3, 4 five people, six people, and no one went over to help this woman, and she was bleeding out.
The only good thing I could say, Todd, is that unlike most of these incidents, the people that were sitting there weren't pulling out their phones and videotaping. It's a videotape we have is the security video. At least they weren't sitting there watching, pulling out their phones and videotaping it like we see with these brawls that occur in fast food restaurants or on cruise ships or on the streets where people are so quick to use their phones to record it rather than step in and stop it.
I will say this, Steve, as we're watching, they need to go ahead and release all of this. You know, you're right. All this, the security footage covers everything and she bled out, but they stop it before we see anything. I think we need to see everything here. But what we do now know is that she was fully aware. She was terrified and she suffered. And this is just unacceptable.
And not only that, we need to know the name of every judge, every DA that was involved in the catch and release of this monster that would not have been there to commit this crime if he was sitting in some jail cell somewhere where he deserved to be. He would not have been able to do this if the judges and the DAs and the prosecutors had done their jobs.
Yeah, unbelievable. You know, and you'll hear the left say, well, we shouldn't be releasing this kind of video. You know what? They'll release the people of they'll release video from Gaza of all the fake murders and the fake deaths over in Gaza. But they're not going to release something like this. Come on. That's just ridiculous.
So how many photographs did we see of the police officer with his knee on the neck? Although the reports finally revealed that he died not from what the police officer did, but from the drugs that were in his system. They didn't have any problem showing that white on black police officer situation, but don't want our sensitive little eyes to see this one.
We don't have media in this country. We have propagandists. That's what we have here. Unbelievable. Steve, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. What's the big story brewing over at TriStarDaily.com today?
Hey, some good news. We're about to post this. Cracker Barrel that has reversed on its logo has now reversed on its store remodeling. They were turning the Cracker Barrel Old Country stores into some version of IKEA, and now they've decided not only are they going to backtrack on the logo redesign, they're also announcing that while they've only redesigned 4 stores, they're not going to do it to the other 600. So the backtrack from Cracker Barrel positively continues in the wake of them losing several $100 million in stock value and a lot of customer backlash.
Indeed.
That was announced a little while ago. So the remodeling of Cracker Barrel is getting dumped into the dustbin of history, just like their new logo.
And it's a story that we broke exclusively here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show in the first hour. So go over to check it out there on TriStarDaily.com and read all about it. Steve, thank you. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt, but that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, let's work in a call here. Jerry in Iowa, listening to us on KXEL. Hi, Jerry, what's on your mind?
Thank you, Todd, for inviting we, the government, call in. Because we are the government of the people, for the people, by the people. So thank you for the use of the platform. Really appreciate it. The top of the last hour ended with Home of the Brave. So I'm commenting on the Charlotte train stabbing. So we're all supposed to be in the Home of the Brave. So most Americans are not trained like the police and the military. And we hear our police and military tell us that their training kicks in when something happens. You never really know what you're going to do for sure, but the training kicks in. So we non-professional military and police, average Americans in the Home of the Brave, I'm suggesting that our intentions have to kick in. So what am I going to do if I see something like this happen? I'm stuck in a train car with this. What are my intentions going to be? They're going to be whatever I decided they would be before it happened. Like, one thing, I'm not going to start videotaping posting it. That's not it. My intention is, and this is just my plan, okay, so I'm not a professional, is I'm just going to yell, men help, and then I'm going to dive at this guy with a chair or a backpack or something, and then hope to God that some of these other men have already grown a pair. And then after it's all over, when we stop as many people from getting stabbed as possible, which could include ourselves, then the police are going to arrive. And thank God that they do, because, when seconds count, the police are mere minutes away. So I'm just saying that if we're really the home, and I look forward to your comment, if we're really all the home of the brave, whoever you are, I'm in my 60s. I'm not an expert in what to do, but
right.
Am I just really going to pop up my phone and start videotaping? Or am I, like other men, if I decided in advance I'm going to do something, because I don't want to be that guy who sat there and watched it. This is America. We're supposed to be, all of us are supposed to be brave. So I look forward. Thank you for your time, sir. And I look forward to your comment.
Yeah, Jerry. Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think every man, no matter who you are, no matter if you're, built like a tank or you're not, you need to go into any situation in public with a plan in case something happens. And I think that's one of the big challenges. Most guys these days have their heads buried in their smartphones, and they're really not. There's no situational awareness. So yeah, I think that's a terrific idea. By the way, you folks in Waterloo, Iowa, honored to be your keynote speaker at the Patriots Dinner, brought to you by the great Republican Party of Blackhawk County. It's the Celebrate 250 Patriots Dinner. That's coming up September 28th. You'll be able to get more information over on the Republicans of Blackhawk County website. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of the big show coming up next.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, Caroline Leavitt right now holding the White House press briefing, and she is shaming reporters to their faces over their decision not to cover the killing of Irina Zarutska, the young lady that was stabbed to death on that subway car there in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good for Caroline. She says, many of the journalists in this room spilled plenty of ink trying to smear Daniel Penny for defending a subway car from a deranged lunatic in New York City. But none of those same reporters lift a finger to write stories about the actual murderer. Here are the facts many outlets have shamelessly and intentionally failed to report until President Trump drew attention to it. And she goes on to lay them out. What a horrible situation. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we are honored to have our friend and radio station owner, Justin Kazepas, with us. Justin is the owner of the great WSIC in Statesville, North Carolina. Justin, first, good to have you with us. And I got to tell you, we love hearing from your great listeners.
Todd, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on. We got a wild bunch up here, on the kind of north side of Mecklenburg County and Iredell County. So north of Charlotte, Lake Norman area. We're a wild bunch, but my gosh, Todd, if they don't love your show.
Well, we love you guys as well, Justin. And as soon as I saw the story, I immediately thought about the good people in Statesville. I know you guys have a great sheriff there, and your law enforcement keeping your people safe. But the reality is crime is going to spread, and I'm just concerned about what's going on in Charlotte.
Todd, it's wild because, you know, we talked about the story, obviously, and the tragedy that happened on the train there, the Blue Line, as they call it, which is ran by CAS, is the local transit system in Charlotte and Mecklenburg County. And when we talked about it weeks ago, and it wasn't until the video finally came out at the end of last week. And, you know, once, you know, the Internet and those on X got a hold of it, it really took off. And it just shows you the power of communication and willingness to speak out and what that really does. I'll be honest with you, Todd, it's got a lot of people concerned. We've got a major, major thing coming up, too, for Mecklenburg County in particular, the same area, right? Mecklenburg County being the county where Charlotte's located in, of a sales tax referendum that's coming up in November. And it's an increase of sales tax to arguably help fund transportation. But we're talking about these same Charlotte groups, Todd, that will have control of those dollars after that passes, assuming it does, right, in November. So great opportunity to help with the transportation needs and infrastructure, but we're seeing how that relates to safety. I mean, the fact of them not even collecting fares on the transportation system in a lot of instances arguably could have been enough just to deter this tragic situation.
You know, it's a concerning thing, especially for Charlotte, as you guys continue to see that city grow much like Atlanta did. And when Atlanta built their subway system known as MARTA, one of the big concerns from the suburbs was, okay, what's going to happen here? Are we going to start seeing the subway system used to funnel criminals into our neighborhoods and our communities? And it turned out to be absolutely true. And that's what's been happening and still happens to this day in Atlanta. And I'm wondering if you guys are concerned as that transit system might be expanding and getting up into your neck of the woods.
It's one of the major topics from the groups that are against the increase of sales tax, even setting aside just the general principle of tax and giving the government more spending power. What it really is what will be the effects based on the management of those transportation system. And this, Todd, is where I go back to as well. You know, people for a long time didn't want to get involved in politics, didn't want to get involved in committees and being part of civil service. But these are one of those moments where maybe we should relook at that as a society and people should get involved again.
Justin, I'm curious about the case itself. It did not get a lot of attention nationally at all. I'm wondering about there locally. When did you guys clue in and say, oh, my gosh, this is a huge story here?
Yeah, you know, we as a news organization, Todd, although, you know, sometimes when we talk about cheeseburgers, people don't consider that news, although that certainly is news for me each day. When we look at news in our local market, we thankfully are able to connect with a lot of different people. And there's other news outlets locally who at least brought up the conversation and hunted then for based on freedom of information and other sources like that to help and really advocate for these videos to get released. And this is one of those moments, Todd, if it wasn't for the video from the train of it getting released, I don't know if we'd be talking about it right now.
It's a fair point. And, of course, a fuller version of the video has been released. Not the entire thing, but we now see the aftermath where, I mean, this just happened in a matter of like 1 second, if that, where she was stabbed and then the guy, you know, leaves, but not a single person on the train that we can see in this video is standing up and rushing to help this poor young woman.
And Todd, that's certainly something that when you look at the video, you could stomach it and watch it, right? I would almost advise it's just one of those things that you'd rather not just have that, you know, scene implanted into your brain. You definitely want to try to avoid it, definitely not with children or anything like that if you're looking on the internet or on your phone or devices with kids in the room. But because it was so shocking. You're talking about a girl enters a train, sits, it has her earbuds in, is in her own world, has no interaction whatsoever with the person behind her who ends up being her murderer. Who wants to live in a world like that?
It's a great question. I'm wondering what your listeners have been saying there in Statesville calling into WSIC.
To be honest with you, grateful for sheriffs like Sheriff Darren Campbell of Iredell County, who does not play games, Todd. He has made it abundantly clear. Do not even attempt to come to Iredell County and cause trouble like this. They will not end well for those who try.
Yeah, this is well said. And I think you have to send those messages out. And I know we're seeing the same thing happen, you know, in the Memphis area with the suburban law enforcement saying, you know what, we're not playing that game here. So, what a horrible story. And of course, I'm wondering if this is going to have any sort of an impact at all on the mayor in the primary.
The hope is, Todd, that it gets people paying attention. You know, in these off seasons, it's not a super sexy election, right, with presidential candidates, but local matters. And I hope that communities all across this wonderful nation get back involved in the off season of elections. Be willing to listen to candidates. Go to your public forums. Ask questions. Don't be afraid. There are enough people out here that will not shame you, that they want to know the truth about who's leading their communities as well.
Well said. All right, Justin, we're going to leave it there. You guys be safe. Always great hearing from you, my friend.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
All right, Justin Kazepas, ladies and gentlemen, he is the owner of WSIC. And one of the things we take great pride in, radio stations that are owned and operated by individuals, by families, they're the ones that are taking this show because they have a choice. They are not being forced to take a cram down show that's being offered by one of the big conglomerates. So we're always grateful for the family owned radio stations around this great nation that carry the Todd Stearns program. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. A crazy story coming out of Texas. We're going to tell you about that on the Todd Stearns Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hey, don't forget, 5 o'clock tonight on Newsmax 2. You can watch Newsmax 2 on Facebook or YouTube. The Todd Stearns Show, 5 o'clock Eastern, going to be a great program tonight. We have some great guests coming up. Of course, President Trump, he's a big fan of Newsmax, and he also watches Rob Finnerty's program, says it's so terrific. Millions of people are joining President Trump to watch Finnerty every night, 8 o'clock Eastern. All this week, Rob is looking at the media's war on President Trump. He's giving you the facts about the National Guard in cities like New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. And he's telling you the truth about the Jeffrey Epstein files. He also reveals the big media's agenda on the president's health. You can watch Rob Finnerty on Newsmax. Just check out your local cable system. You can also download the free Newsmax app. It costs absolutely nothing, and you can watch in just minutes. By the way, Finnerty is the fastest-growing primetime news show in America. So find out why even President Trump is tuning in. More than 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news they can trust because we are real news for real people. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, President Trump is now weighing in on New York City. They are on the verge now of electing a communist mayor. Here's what the president had to say about that.
No, I have not spoken to Eric about that. And, you know, again, don't know him well. He is a Democrat. He hasn't come to us about that. And I guess he's running. You know, I read something in a very good newspaper called the New York Post. It really is a very good, run by a very talented guy, actually. But I read where he has no intention of getting out. Again, Curtis, I don't know him at all. I don't know him at all. And Cuomo, I do know. But I would say this, anybody is better than what you have. We're going to have a communist mayor in New York. How about that one? We're going to end up with a communist mayor. Now, if you look at what he said just a year, go back a year ago and look at what he wants to take over the stores. He wants to take over John's stores. I don't know. I don't think John's too happy about this. He can't even believe it. But we're going to end up with a communist mayor in New York. Now, the good thing is everything comes through the White House. So he's not going to be able to do what he'd probably like to do. But it's inconceivable. If you would have told me even 5 years ago, 2 years ago, that we end up with a communist winning.
All right, there you go. And the president has said that he very well may intervene there if, in fact, it looks as though Mamdani is going to be elected. I don't know what they can do. Curtis Sliwa refuses to drop out. He's the Republican, and the guy's unelectable. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's just unelectable. He's run before, and he's been trounced, and he's getting no traction whatsoever. So the only other options to stop the communists, that would be Mamdani, is Andrew Cuomo, who killed a bunch of people's grandmas, or you've got Eric Adams, the current mayor of New York City. It's a big mess, a great big mess. All right, let's go to the phone line. Charlotte, North Carolina, Barbara on the line. Hi, Barbara, what's going on?
Hi there. First, I'll say I love you, love your show. But I wanted to add a comment about the girl that was murdered on the train in Charlotte. I am positive that I heard on our local news station, WSOC Channel 9 on ABC, that someone did come and administer CPR to her on that train.
So, Barbara, I am reading the story on WSOC. And they say, and I want to read here what they wrote. They said, heroic passengers rushed to Zarutska's aid. One man took his shirt off to dress the wound and attempted CPR. Now, let me say this. The fuller version of the video that was just released a few moments ago doesn't show any of that. And that's not to say it didn't happen, but in the immediate aftermath of the guy stabbing her and then leaving that particular train car, nobody got up to help this young lady.
Well, I haven't seen that new release. I've only was seen the release that showed him just sitting there. It didn't show her at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted everyone to know that people did come to help her.
As horrible, as horrifying as it is, Barbara, I think they need to go ahead and release everything, and so the American people can see the evil that existed on that train on that day.
I agree. I totally agree.
All
I
right.
I just wanted everyone to know that people in Charlotte were nice, you know, helpful, nice enough, compassionate enough to run to her aid.
And I hope that's the case. And Barbara, that's why I hedge this by saying the video that has been released, you know, because there's clearly more of it, but they haven't released that part of it. And I think they need to. And it very well may show. Clearly, somebody at WSOC TV has seen it because they're reporting on all of this. So I think at this point, we need to release it all. Let the chips fall where they may.
Yes,
hey, Barbara, may I ask you a question? You're in Charlotte. What are people saying about the mayor?
I am actually outside of Charlotte. I'm north of Charlotte. I don't live in Charlotte, but I watch the Charlotte
news. I see.
So I have a different mayor. I live in Huntersville, North Carolina.
Gotcha. All right.
North of Charlotte.
Okay. Well, Barbara, I certainly appreciate you calling in, and thank you for adding to that. And, you know, we will see what the rest of the video shows if they decide to release it. Drips and drabs are not helpful at all. And, folks, I think they just need to release the whole video. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be checking in with our good friend Walker Wildman over at American Family Association, weighing in on the incredible events of yesterday in Washington as President Trump stood up for religious liberty. We certainly appreciate the president's great, great work there. In the meantime, there is this crazy story out of Texas, and it's overwhelming to me, ladies and gentlemen, why these universities are putting up such a fight against this administration. So there are some bombshell emails that have just come out involving Texas A&M, and they are trying to silence a conservative student. And in doing so, they're standing up for the LGBTQ plus community there at Texas A&M. We're going to be getting into the story a little bit later on in the show. But again, it's just, I think it really surprises a lot of people that this is happening in the Lone Star State, which, you know, we believe to be this bastion of conservatism. So coming from the Texas Tribune, University President Mark Welsh announced last night that the dean and department overseeing a children's literature course who was at the center of a viral recording was going to be removed. By the way, the teacher said they were going to be teaching material inconsistent with whatever the course description was. And this is all over LGBTQ-related content in the classroom. It has sparked a major backlash from Republican lawmakers, calls for investigations. The Justice Department's now getting involved. And now the chancellor of the Texas A&M system is pledging to discipline this professor. By the way, Welsh is saying, that's the university president, Welsh saying on X, our students use the published information in the course catalog to make important decisions about the courses they take in pursuit of their degrees. If we allow different course content to be taught from what is advertised, we let our kids down. When it comes to our academic offerings, we must keep our word to our students and to the state of Texas. Well, I'm glad to hear him say it, but he was kind of forced to say it. This is unbelievable. Even the governor's getting involved, calling for the professor to be fired. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, let me give you the lowdown here on this Texas A&M University story. So far, at least two academic officers have been removed as a result of this video that a student filmed. And it showed a professor telling a student to leave the class after the student raised objections to a lesson on gender identity, which, by the way, they're not allowed to be teaching in these classrooms. This is coming from President Trump's executive order. Now we understand that State Representative Brian Harrison, who is from Midlothian, is now demanding that the university president, Mark Welsh, be fired, be removed. In response to that, Welsh removed the dean and the department head, hoping that saves his hide there. Look, we've got to play hardball here, folks, and I don't mean to be mean or a jerk or whatever. It's just that President Trump has issued executive orders. These universities are either going to follow the law of the land, or they should either lose their jobs or lose their federal funding. And no more pussyfooting around. We need to get out there right now and deal with these issues. And if we don't, it's just going to continue. Now, we understand that Harmeet Dhillon, our good friend, and now she is the U.S. Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division, says this is all deeply concerning. The Houston Chronicle reporting that information. Also, the chancellor criticized the class materials, saying that they were irreconcilable with the system's values. So at least the chancellor gets it. But the question is, what do we start doing with these universities? You know, President Trump, the Department of Education, they've been saying we're going to defund, no more federal dollars. All right, well, let's get to it. What are we waiting for? Let's get cracking. Save the American people some more money. Why don't we do that? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is from our interview last night on Newsmax with Walker Wildman and Pastor Ben Graham, weighing in on President Trump and the big news coming out of the religious liberty world. Let's take a listen. Joining me now is Pastor Ben Graham, a faith director at the Department of Interior, and Walker Wildman, vice president of the American Family Association. Gentlemen, good to have you with us. Pastor Ben, let's start with you. Your reaction to what Senator Kaine said, that our rights come from man, not God.
Yeah, so I was at the commission today, and it was amazing to hear our president not only bring that up, and we look back a year ago at the chaos that existed in our nation, and we were a nation that really had become a secular nation. We had removed ourselves from God. We were seeing the lawlessness. We were seeing all the issues that were going on. And President Trump mentioned something today when he talked about, he was talking about the Olympics and some other things was happening, and he said God works in mysterious ways, and really, we look at how all this has happened with the 2020 election all the way up, and we now see God moving in our nation again. It's because it starts with our president is making a real stride to recognize that if we're going to thrive as a nation, we must return to being one nation under God. We've got to understand that. And when man begins to say, we're the ones that give you rights, we're in trouble. And so I'm very appalled at what Senator Kaine said. It's sad that he doesn't know our Constitution. It's sad that he is a legislator who's not following the Constitution, but pushing a woke agenda, and we've got to move away from that.
Walker, I'm wondering what it says either about the country or the Democrat Party. Franklin Roosevelt actually sent Bibles to our soldiers. JFK talked about God openly, his faith. Harry S. Truman said America is a Christian nation. And now you have mainstream Democrats saying that God has really no place in the public square.
Yeah, that's a good point, Todd. Two things stand out to me. Number one, this is the Democrat Party that roughly a decade ago, or a little bit longer, booed God at their national convention. They kicked God out of their party documents and booed him at the convention. That's the Barack Obama Democrat Party. Fast forward now, we have Senator Tim Kaine showing that he's unfit for office because you can't say that God doesn't give us our rights, but then also put your hand on the Bible and swear the oath of office that you're going to protect our God-given rights. So this is very alarming, but it's really what the Democrats have believed for a long time. They just feel all of a sudden emboldened to publicly proclaim what their beliefs have been for a long, long time. So this is very concerning. I'm thankful for President Trump's boldness. Look, he's going over to the Bible Museum, the Museum of the Bible, and talking about how we need God back in our country. We need God back in our schools, prayer in our schools. So this is the kind of leadership we need. We need government leaders who understand where our rights come from, and that without God-given rights, we have no rights.
You know, Pastor, there's we've been talking about faith, and I appreciate the president talking about faith. However, this country was founded on Judeo-Christian precepts and teachings, and over the past 48 hours, there's been a lot of concern about the rise of Islam in this nation and whether or not it is actually compatible with our founding documents. I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, it's true that it's hard to thrive as a people unless you really hold to those Judeo-Christian values. That's what our Constitution was created upon. I believe that America was given the rights that people could worship God as they see fit. The government's not going to force it. But, you know, I love that the president recently set out to all the federal employees that you can now not only share your faith, but you can tell people why your faith is right. And, you know, I think for so long, people have been so scared, especially the Christian faith. We've been silenced. People have said, don't share your faith. It's offensive. But, you know, I go back to the very first Speaker of the House was a pastor who at one time got on to his brother because his brother engaged in the Revolutionary War. And after him being silent for 6 months, his house was burnt down, his church burnt down, his family almost destroyed. And he realized neutral doesn't work. And I think too many people have seen that we can't be neutral. We have to stand up and proclaim. If we believe that the Christian faith is the true faith, we have to stand up and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. And that's the only way we can really be faithful as Christians, is proclaiming the truth of God's word.
Walker, I know President Trump's been a big fan of Christian radio, and you guys have one of the largest and most influential Christian radio networks out there. How important is that to getting the message out to the masses?
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, radio is still one of the most popular forms of communication, one of the most popular mediums, even in the digital era. And it's also important that the president has defunded much of these publicly government-funded propaganda machines, including PBS, NPR, etc. I mean, I read yesterday where the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, which basically funds all these government-run propaganda machines, they're shutting down their headquarters in Washington, D.C. So this is a very big deal that the president understands that we don't need government-run media, government-run propaganda. We need radio stations like American Family Radio, outlets like Newsmax, so people can get the truth. And so it's a big, big deal. And I think these private forms of news, of honest news, are going to be the way of the future. And I think people are flocking to it.
Well said, guys. I was there, by the way. You may not have known that, but I was there when the Democrats booed God. I was covering that convention. And as soon as they booed God and tried to vote him out of the party platform, fellas, a severe thunderstorm hit Charlotte, North Carolina. So I don't think the Almighty was too keen on that.
No, I don't think he was either. I sure don't. Anyway, a great conversation with Walker and Pastor Ben. We've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt, but that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost, biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right. Again, we've got the video of the attack in Charlotte over on our YouTube channel. Now, there is a longer version of that video that's coming out. And I will describe it as best I can to you, but it's about 58 seconds long, and you can see the guy stabbing the victim and then just walking away. It's just a matter of a second or two, the attack. This entire thing is about 60 seconds. In that 60 seconds, there's about 50 seconds after the attack where she begins to slump over, and then she collapses onto the floor of the train car, exposing just a massive pool of blood there in the seat. And in that almost minute video, nobody comes to her defense at all. Nobody. And again, I know the local reporting talks about heroes, but nobody came rushing to her aid is what I'm trying to get at here. So by that time, within that time span, the guy had already left the subway car or this train car, and he was no longer a threat to them. So nobody, at least so far, and we're waiting to see if there's even more video, but it was clear pretty quickly that she lost her life there. And it's just, it's beyond sickening. It's a horrible thing that's happened. And we need to... You want to talk about national conversations? Yeah, we do need to have a national conversation about what's going on. We absolutely do. Cut number 8, please.
President Trump, I think, very correctly said that one of the biggest, if not the single biggest issue in the midterms next year is going to be crime and public safety. Democrats have turned these cities into hellholes, Sean. The 10 most violent, bloody, dangerous cities in America are all run by Democrats. Democrat city councils, Democrat mayors, Democrat politicians at every level. And it's not just the top 10. It goes much deeper than that. Every major city in America that is besieged by violence, mayhem, and bloodshed, and narco trafficking are run by Democrats. Look, this has become their religion. Celebrating criminals, celebrating predators, celebrating illegal aliens who prey on our citizens. Again, you talk about your example in New York City where the same people, they keep offending, they keep harassing, they keep assaulting, they keep getting released. We cannot call this simply misguided. We cannot call this simply stupid. It's evil. It is deliberate. It is malign. It is malicious. They know what they're doing. The judges know. The city councils know. The Soros DAs know. The Democrat governors know. They understand. If you release a monster will kill. If you release a savage will kill. If you release a person who has only known violence their entire lives, only committed violence their entire lives, they're going to keep on committing acts of barbarous violence. President Trump is saying, if you want to be safe, stand with President Trump. Stand with the Republican Party, because President Trump will fight for you, just like he's fighting here in Washington, D.C. every day. You have mothers whose kids were murdered in previous years who said, thank God Donald Trump has come here to avenge this injustice and to keep thousands more mothers from having to bury their children. President Trump has said the Republican Party will fight like hell to keep your kids safe. That's the choice facing America, Sean.
And by the way, now Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy looking at revoking federal funding from Charlotte as a result of all of this. Cut six.
You know, the president said these are evil people, and he's right, but it's also evil politicians like the mayor, the city council, the DA, the governor in North Carolina, evil people with evil policies that are actually destroying communities. So the problem, Sean, is a lot of people like the rich liberal, they can't ride Uber. They don't have a driver. They don't have a vehicle. They actually have to ride public transportation. And public transportation has become an epidemic of violence and homelessness across the country. And so we don't have a ton of equities at DOT, but we do have money. Your federal tax dollars go to fund a lot of these transit systems across the country. And we have to look at them and say, well, maybe it's appropriate that we start pulling some of that money back, because I don't think the American taxpayer wants to pay for the homelessness and criminal element that harm little 23-year-old girls like this who are going home from work from ordering a pizza, that they're going to get stabbed in the neck. And liberals want to hide that story so you and I don't talk about it, so the American people don't know that their failed policies don't work for the American people.
Good point. And why don't, I'm just curious, so why don't the mayors of people like the one in Charlotte, why don't they want people to know about what happened to this innocent young woman on the train? Let's go to the phones. Mike in Clear Lake City, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hey, Mike, what you got for us?
Hello?
Mike, you're on the air.
Okay. Thank you. Been listening to you all week covering this and talking about the situation where no one rendered aid. I think it's a perfect example of the sign of the times. Matthew 24:12, Jesus tells us in the latter days, iniquity will abound and the love for many will wax cold. And that's what it is. It's the man's inhumanity, the man, and the fact that we don't care about each other is a clear indication of where we're at today as a country.
I can't fathom why no one immediately rushed over to render aid to this young. I just don't understand that. There are plenty of men on that train car. Why didn't any of those men stand up?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about having to, you know, attack the perpetrator like the way Daniel Penny did. Why didn't somebody pull their shirt off and try to plug, you know, stop the blood from coming out, you know, try to, you know, do something? I mean, I don't see how a person can sit there and witness something like that. The initial, you know, reflex action is to, like, do something. How do you just sit there and just look? Or what's worse is, how do you turn your head and look away?
And that's what the woman across from her did, literally turned away and got up and got out of there. Again, I can understand, look, a woman is going to be defenseless in a situation like that, but what about the men? That's what got me. And especially the man who jumped up and literally ran off. That's just unacceptable. That's unforgivable in my book.
Well, I think it's a sign of the times myself.
Well, I think you may be onto something there, Mike. And I don't know. I was cut from a different cloth. And there was a time when the young men of America were taught, you see a woman in distress, it doesn't matter who you are, how much muscle you have, you get over there and you help that young woman out.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't believe it. Just how do you as a person not have it in your heart to see something like that, and your initial reaction is to just leap out and try to help? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
How can you be in the midst of a situation like that and you do absolutely nothing?
Mm. Mike, good thought. Thank you for calling in. Maybe it is a sign of the times. Maybe that's it. Hey, folks, I do want to encourage you, invite your friends to listen to what we do Monday through Friday, noon to 3 Eastern. We're going to be adding a lot of new radio affiliates in the coming days, some exciting news coming out that we're going to be sharing with you. But we want to grow our audience, and one of the ways you can do that is downloading our free app so you can listen to us wherever you are in America. And you can do that by going to toddstearns.com. Also, download our free podcast and newsletter. We offer a lot of free resources for you because that's what we want to do. I know a lot of people are out there asking for money for this and for that. So we want to go against the grain and offer you some things for free. All right, we've got to call it a day, folks. It has been a great blessing to be with you. A lot of bad news out there, so we got to pray for our country. Just a reminder, that's what President Trump called us to do, and we ought to do it. Get out there, folks. You be safe, and you be good, America.
¿Por qué pagar más por tu seguro de auto? No importa tu edad, historial de manejo o infracciones. En Roma Insurance Advisors te aseguramos. Llama ya 1-888-638-4513. Roma Insurance Advisors, tus asesores de seguros de confianza.